Today on Breezy Breakfast, we hear from the gang at 10C. 10C provides Guelph with office and meeting spaces. Julie O'Grady, Jess, and Joy outline the broad scope of what goes on at 10C and the opportunities for people that exist therein. If you're interested in energy conservation, water in Guelph, or assisting with food security, 10C might be for you. Now over to Morgan, our moderator for today.
Good morning, Breezy Breakfast. Here we are on Thursday, October the 12th. We are halfway through the month of October. Can you believe it? Today, we are having a great fun time because we get to learn more about 10C Shared Space as they're getting ready to celebrate 15 years of existence. Just as we get going, we are going to about our land acknowledgement from the city. As we gather, let us take time to reflect on our privilege to live and work in Guelph, a city built over rich Indigenous histories. We are guests here, and we should reflect upon the responsibility to care for this land, the people who live here today, and the generations to come. If our actions today can move us toward reconciliation, we should take pause and make those decisions with intention and gratitude. This place we call Guelph has served as traditional lands and a place of refuge for many peoples over time, but more specifically, the Attawanirok and the Haudenosaunee. This land is held as the treaty lands and territory with the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation. Guelph lies directly adjacent to the Haldimand Track and is part of a long-established traditional hunting ground for the Six Nations of the Grand River. Many First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples who have come from across Turtle Island call Guelph home today. And I'm very happy that the city has updated the territorial acknowledgement so we have a little more context about where it is that we live, work, and play in this city now called Guelph. As I said, we have 10C here with us today, and we are very lucky to have the co-founder and CEO, Julie O'Grady. And I'm just going to turn it over to Julie to let her go with what it is she has to tell us.
It's fun to be here in person and online. I'm Julia, and I'm also here with Jess, and then Joy is online from 10C. And 10C right now has an amazing team of probably 15 to 18 people. And we're 15. We're going to be 15 on October 21st of this month, and then we're celebrating at the end of the month. And when we were kind of asked to kind of come on and talk about 10C, some of the questions were how we ended up at 42 Carden Street, talk about our water capture system and our rainwater harvesting, what is shared office space, community bonds, the kitchen, and then what is happening at farmers market. So I'm going to kind of walk through some slides and tell everyone about that, and Morgan will ask me some questions, and then we'll go on to the rest of the Breezy Breakfast. So right now, 10C is about, we have 121 new members. Currently, we're about 408 members, and that includes 140 community bond investors. Okay, so we are a member-based organization of individuals, organizations, and students and volunteers. You're all working on some facet of social change that's leading to community resilience and sustainability. We have a ton of different programs, and we organize 10C's thinking kind of in these six themes. So I'm just going to walk through them. So the first one is placemaking, and that relates to directly to our community, directly to buildings and spaces and facilities, and ways that we can make things more feel more comfortable and welcoming for people. We do social enterprise. 10C itself is a social enterprise, and then we also work to support social enterprises. And really, social enterprises are not-for-profits or for-profit enterprises that are really focusing on their social cause as their main source of impact. Sustainable food systems. Sustainable development goals, which most people have heard of the SDGs, and that's really a way for us to kind of work on the world's to-do list of everything that needs to kind of improve so that we can sustain life on this planet. Social finance and then community engagement. And I'll walk through social finance as we talk about our community bond program and some of the other social financing work that we do. And then community engagement in general, TenSea really works to work with a lot of different organizations, individuals, and provide all kinds of ways for people to connect. I'm going to talk specifically about placemaking. So the building in the beautiful illustration on the screen is 42 Carden Street. But TenSea started, and some of the people in this room remember way back in 2008 down at 10 Carden Street. And we had a tiny little rented space in the main floor of that building. And that's where we really began community convening. Through the period of the next few years, we knew we needed to be larger and more sustainable. Really, we needed to be larger to support the work that was happening in community. And then we needed a physical space to be much larger if we were going to like build an organization that could sustain. We also physical accessibility was a huge challenge, but these are the old days. And this was the floor that we rented. We did all kinds of community convenings, built our membership base there, held all kinds of great events. And a lot of them kind of look like exactly like this, like people gathering to talk about what was important to them in their community. We, over the course of a couple of years there, we took over the second and third floors. And then one of these rooms is called the Heritage Room. And it was a beautiful kind of like stone room that we had like more meetings and events in. And then that kind of gave rise to, we really need to be physically accessible if we're going to live into a mandate of inclusion, and spaces that aren't physically accessible just aren't welcoming and also aren't definitely not inclusive. So we looked at how we could expand, and that led us to the Actors Furniture Building. And some people have no idea what the Actors Furniture Building was, which part of a passage of time. So it had been a furniture building for 100 years. We bought it in 2016, really by dreaming. It's going to sound unstructured in that process. But when we were back at this space, we had a sense of what we wanted to do and who our membership was and how we could kind of organize, and then also how we could financially organize things. And we started with pencil crayons and graph paper, sketching out how we could grow those operations to a much bigger space. And 42 Carden Street, is a 15,000 square foot facility. It's four stories plus a rooftop potential one day and a full basement. So it gave us a lot of room to spread out, to look at how we could structure the building, and then also what kinds of activities for people could take place in it. And for anyone who remembers TenSea at that time, we were still a very small organization taking on, call it a very big project, and which was anchored by a lot of the physical redevelopment of that building, which was very challenging. And that building was like one of those pieces of infrastructure in our downtown that didn't really at the time have a solution. And TenSea really redeveloped it. It has Rick Hansen accessibility certification, and it's a beautiful, welcoming space. And we got through the digging out of the basement phase of work to then open up very cool things like community co-working. One of the questions was, what is shared workspace? So we have a very flexible model that has, you can hot desk, members can hot desk for an hour or so a month within their membership costs. And then there's hot desking abilities past that, and then full part-time desk. So if you just want to get out of your world for half a day a week, you can come and do that at 10C and be near people and connect with people. And then it morphs up from there. So full-time desks, permanent desks, and then private offices. There's about 12 to 14 private spaces in TenSea that are like permanent homes for organizations, including like the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition, and then Chalmers Community Services Center on Apsis is the Mactonnell main area, and their spaces is the bulk of the main floor. Inside the building, when we first met the building, I'd say, we walked up, crawled through a hatch onto the roof, and the roof has this very cool pitch where both facades go to the center. And we envisioned a rainwater harvesting system to basically run the toilet operations. So we, in 2020, during the pandemic, that was one of our pandemic projects while people were buying puppies. So we were working with our engineer to turn on the rainwater harvesting system. So right now we've harvested 141 cubic meters of rainwater. And then in 2022, last year, we had 55% of the water used for the operations of the toilets in the building came from rainwater. So it's kind of, and what we've got, it's a data-enabled system that lets us like track and know how much water we're using. And in our first year, first couple of years, the system wasn't being used all the time, but now it's like being used on an ongoing basis. Community engagement. So all of the spaces at 10C, we can host between like 2 people and 500 people, including at the farmer's market. So 10C itself on the fourth floor where this photo is from, hosts about a space a little bit less than the size of this space, but can host a 100-person event and gathering easily. And a lot of the rooms turn over 3 or 4 times a day with different community events, gatherings, and then in small meetings. And we really try to make the space space welcoming, and then our team can support anyone with their meeting. So if you need to do a hybrid meeting, the team can support to kind of to help set that up. Or if you're doing something much larger, we can work on catering from some of the kitchen members as well. We host all kinds of visual arts on the main floor, and this is Peter Pallet's show. We also, on the fourth floor, host a lot of performing arts, and now Intensity has its own sound system, so that will help us host more activities. We've had a few large-scale events on the fourth floor this year, and then also hosted some weddings, which was a lot of fun to kind of beautify a space that is sometimes utilitarian and used for like meetings and convenings. And Tensi itself, through team, really tries to do a lot of connecting. And the Joy, Heather, Nathan, Jess, all of the team members, and work to connect between members. And then also look for collaborative projects where there's chances to collaborate. Sustainable food systems. At the core, back in the old days, our kitchen was in the bathroom at 10C, and we got to get more food into this organization. And that was, we had a beautiful, I remember this like beautiful member talk, and the members were like, let's find ways to incorporate more food into what 10C does. And we kind of pinned that when we're doing our sketching for the Ackers building, and wanted to anchor the top floor with a shared commercial kitchen. So we have a beautiful shared commercial kitchen up there. And now I think 10C's work of sustainable food systems is really like a core part of our work now, including we've got some like research projects that are happening related to food and food systems. Obviously the farmer's market, which I'll talk about, and then community programming. And the community programming ranges from using the kitchen as a space for groups to connect and around their themes, and it also looks like new enterprises using the kitchen to support their work. So a bit of charitable work as well as a bit of local economy work. And we have right now in the Nourish Kitchen, we're almost getting full, which was one of the goals. We have about 15 social enterprises and businesses that are using the kitchen as shared space. There's 4,000 hours in the kitchen, and new programs that are happening as well, including one called Super Foodies, which is a teaching program for kids, and then community programs just under, I'll call it under development as we can. So this brings me to the farmers market in 2021, and even all through the pandemic. And we know the pandemic was hard for all of the myriad of reasons, but even during like the heights of the pandemic, Tennessee's building at 42 Carden was still being it's hard to know that there was a facility like the farmers market that could only have a 5-hour use a week. So when the city issued an EOI for or expression of interest for groups to look at the farmers market, Tennessee jumped into that pretty wholeheartedly, with lots of I'll say ideas and determination. And as we know, like our farmers market is year-round, which is a huge asset. Not all communities have a year-round indoor-outdoor farmers market. It's an amazing location, very close to downtown, and can serve about 110 vendors right now. And we've gotten the audience up to 2,500 people on a consistent basis weekly. We also know that the facility offers us like a ton more potential. So we're working on activating a market from 4 to 7 on Thursdays seasonally. And then this December, every Thursday, there will be a market on Thursday night, as well as then on Saturday for kind of holiday gathering and shopping. We did some surveys and interviews with our market vendors and have a beautiful set of kind of reflections on what their goals are and are working to, I'm going to just say, improve the market. We know the facility needs some upgrades. We're underway on a big renovation, including these beautiful booths. So if you've been to the market, you'll see a different booth structure. There are these permanent booths that have more vertical space. We're also working on accessible heights for counters to kind of like notch things down by a few inches to be compliant with accessibility. And then also there's mobile market booths so that the booths can roll away when we're not in market mode. And then that gives us the access to the space for for larger facilities. And then behind the wall that just, if you go to the market on a weekly basis, you'll see this kind of new trend. I'll call this a transitional space. And it was formerly the hoarding wall was up there. And we've just recently put in a universal bathroom into the market, a very free bathroom. And then working on a shared commercial kitchen space. That meant like excavation and structural work and a ton of HVAC that is attached to, I'll call it increasing the occupancy from 230 people to 500 people, and then bringing in enough fresh air to support that load of people. So we've completed a lot of that work, and then right now we're at a bit of a standstill while we look for more funding and continue to build out what the next phases are. So behind the kind of wall you see here will be a commercial kitchen, very similar to 10C, but a little bit bigger, and then a cafe space. And we imagine that those two anchors will help us get closer to 5 days of active use on site for different food things, but then also enabling larger community events. So with a actual functioning kitchen, we can have a community supper. We could have an event. There could be like external events that come in and access that space. And we also envision the whole site being used for downtown community festivals. The back lot, we've got a whole plan to activate that. And it is a pretty great space on the inside as well as on the outside. And we've got, we would like to be using it in all kinds of different ways. So with at the same time being able to still run an amazing Saturday farmers market. And then I'm going to kind of wrap up here on sustainable development goals is one of our program areas, and we have some federal funding, and we're working a project in collaboration with Pillar Nonprofit and Nonprofit Network in London. And then our teams jointly work to connect with organizations who are A, working to understand the sustainable development goals, and then and B, working on to um, in, incorporate them into their work and as well as into their storytelling. And social enterprise. So 10C itself is a social enterprise. We have some grant funded work. We have there is no base of operating capital that just comes to 10C. So a lot of the placemaking work, like hosting your events at 10C, being a member, different projects that happen at 10C, those are our operating funding. And there's a ton of, I'll call it a ton of streams of work. And then 10C also does consulting, research, speaking, facilitation. We can help groups work through their developing their theories of change. We can help them think of how they want to connect into community, or do basic things like plan out how to use a CRM system. So we're trying to work with our members in community groups, as well as other organizations now kind of across Canada, to serve what is needed in a sector that is, I'd say the not-for-profit sector is rapidly changing. And the path for a lot of not-for-profits is to become more enterprising. And that's going to lead us to social finance. So everyone will remember the picture of the dugout building. That was actually a community bond investment meeting. So we, through the exciting phase of renovating the Ackers building, just worked to engage community to say, we think we can activate this beautiful space. And at that time, the Ackers building is not a beautiful space. There was literally no infrastructure. We brought in, we dug up Carbon Street, we brought in all the electrical, water servicing, there's steel structure inside to hold everything up. It was a massive project that we invited community investors into with us. So during the 10C holds a lot of financing on the project, and most of it now comes from our community bond investment program. So that has 140 investors who've invested $2.5 million into the financing for the project, and then they own financial returns. We started that program in 2016. So most community bonds have a 5-year term, and basically Joy likes to call it an IOU with paperwork. But basically, there's a 5-year term. You invest $1,000 or more. Our largest investment is from the University of Guelph, and it is $183,000. And then we've got a few folks in the $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 tier. A lot of individuals, organizations, foundations, a few businesses, and so there's a range of people that can participate in that. And they're making an investment for 5 years, and they get a financial return, as well as the community return of knowing that there is a shared hub in Guelph that exists to serve community. We're about $34,000 away from completely finishing our renewal. So there's still seeking a few other investors to fill that kind of in. And then this little graph shows like our pace of renewing our financing. So if people have homes, you know that you renew your financing with your bank. We renew our financing with our bank on a 4 or 5 year cycle. And then as well on a 5-year cycle, we renew our financing with community members. So when community members need to exit the community bond program, there will be other community members that that enter the community program. And then that lets us maintain financing for a longer term of the project. And within like probably the next 20 years, the goal will be to have most of the financing fully paid off. And then that 10C and the structure of whoever is leading the organization will have something very solid. It's meant to build a bit of a community foundation in a way of a base there for strong social change work to keep continuing. So, and this is my very last bit, but social finance led us to, we do things in other communities because really social financing let us renovate and activate that building. So we share our information with other projects. There's, arts groups can build projects and take on things. I would never recommend that anyone take on anything as zany as a Red Wing Actors Furniture Building. But there is a growing movement supported by I'll call it the federal government and ESDC's Social Finance Fund. And I remember way back at 10C writing some of the call it community feedback questionnaire information into the federal government when they were beginning, when the inklings of that fund were beginning. And it is meant to then spur and spark more social financing across the community-based sector. And 10C is a project called Harvest Impact, which is basically a relational lender. So we do, we'll call it micro lending, but it's $2,500 to $50,000 in lending into projects that are working on food, farm, and environment. And this is related to circular economy and helping to shift systems. So in a lot of cases, accessing smaller amounts of capital is really hard. And this work lets us work. Right now, we've got about 39 projects that are funded and financed within that. And it's helping move forward their work, and in some cases, preparing organizations or businesses for their like next levels of financing and moving their projects forward. The last screen here is how to get involved. So just walk in, say hi to the person at the host desk. Think about becoming a member, volunteer, you can become a bond investor. And the biggest piece is we're celebrating 15 years, which when it came up that this was 15 years, I was like, ooh, holy moly. That is a long time, and we would love it if people would come out. We're having a big party on Friday, October 27th with the Flamingos at 10C, and then there's some fun things happening the next day at the farmer's market, and then we're having an open house as well, just free flow kind of on the Saturday. So thanks, everyone, and I'm going to pass it over to Morgan for whatever is next.
Awesome. Thank you so very much, Julia. So much information. Thank you so much. So all of this information that we've received, I'm sure there are a bunch of questions. I know that Tanya's received a few in the chat, and I've got a couple of here. And I'm sure that there may be some individuals in the restaurant that would like to know a few things about 10C. One of the things for me about 10C that's been amazing is just having the opportunity to go into such a beautiful building. I have to say thank you so much to everyone that's invested into 10C. If you've never been into the building at 42 Curtin Street, take advantage of the fact that they are always open. You don't need an appointment to just go in and see what the lobby's about. It's fully accessible. There are gender-neutral bathrooms. All the bathrooms are single lockable, so everybody gets to use whatever bathroom happens to be there. They are a preferred scent-free building, which is something that I absolutely love. And one of the questions that we did receive is, as a rookie walking into 10C, what are some of the things that I would notice? What are some of the organizations? You mentioned a couple of them. So how many organizations are currently sort of permanent there? You know, you talked about the fourth floor, and I know there's meeting rooms. I've been to a bunch of meetings at 10C over the years. So if you can maybe just sort of let us know how 10C is activated and what people would see when they come in.
When people first come in there, there's always art downstairs, and there's always someone to talk to or ask questions of. We have front desk hosts who are by and large a mix of right now staff, but by and large volunteers. So one of the first questions when we moved way back when was, will there still be a way for volunteers to engage at the front by kind of hosting a community and answering questions? And so we take on that as kind of a function of 10C. So when you first walk in, there's like some high top tables, there's a couch now, there's a little table where you can have kind of a kitchen table kind of conversation. And then there's a welcoming face to connect with, and usually always art. So there's an ongoing art show that people can come in and engage with.
And Morgan, your question around other organizations, I can walk through a little bit. We all know that the Arts Council is now over at the EVAR space, and the main floor space that they were in is going to now be the Guelph Neighborhood Support Coalition, which will give like a beautiful way for Gina C to kind of be a little bit more at the main floor of that building. And they were always very accessible on the second floor, but at the main floor with the GNC, there's just going to be a beautiful thing. And then upstairs is a mix of offices. Ken, who does math tutoring, there's another office. There's a lot of the team space. Upstairs, we have like Taylor Newberry Consulting and a whole bunch of I'll call it permanent desks. There's the Canadian Arab Women, CAWA, Canadian Arab Women's Association, and then the Kuwait Aid Network. And then that leads us to the back space, which is the activity room. And it hosts a ton of different events and programs, including like a mom and kids program. We have mood disorders group with weekly gathering, and then the fourth floor hosts all kinds of events and activities. And the question, Morgan, around what happens at 10C is really up to community. So most people contact 10C and they're like, I've got an event coming up, and how can I connect there, or how do I operate it? And our team will help you like pick what size room, where you should be. And the calendar of things that happen at 10C is really related to all of the different community organizing that's happening.
Okay. I did have another question. I'm going to get back to that. I've had one sent to me privately, and I really would love to know the answer to this right off the bat. Does 10C have a mission statement, and is it an apolitical or a political mission statement?
Yeah, we have a mission statement. I do not have it memorized, but it is a it is non-political. 10C is really meant to be a base for community engagement across social change, and the social change is meant to be inclusive and connected and across all. We have a trans political party statement. So if we hosted during, I think it was during the provincial election, we hosted a set of a couple of debates around the SDGs and how really we need to, as all entities, begin to work that into our missions.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things that the space on the fourth floor offers, because it is a non-political space. You do allow all groups to use the space. I know I've been there for a number of political events, both as a partisan person and also as an individual running for city council. There were a lot of meetings that were held on the fourth floor, which was great. It was really interesting for me, being a person on the stage instead of in the audience. It's neat to get that second perspective. So we've talked about membership, we've talked about community bond, and I know that the organization runs on volunteers. Yeah. So if I were to volunteer, what are some of the perks that I get?
So I think volunteers, the first perk I'd say would be volunteers are able to kind of hot desk and work at 10C, that we do a bit of a matching system there. And connecting. So volunteers, some people volunteer because they wish to volunteer, and they're like, some people want to find different ways to connect in community. And we know that after COVID, sometimes it's harder to find in-person things to do and connect. So I think that most of the volunteers are there because they want to connect with other community members. So 10C lets them organically do that, which is a beautiful thing.
I love just being able to go in when I'm down on Carden Street and say hi to whoever is on the front desk. I love that there's always somebody there. And I thank you very much for having that. Oh, Thank you, Michelle. Michelle Bowman has just sent in mission statement for 10C. I think what we might do is just read it right now. It says, at 10C, we inspire possibility and make change happen now. Our mission is to model and create the conditions for collaborative approaches to social, environmental, cultural, and economic wellness that strengthen community resilience and sustainability. Our vision is that 10C and its members will inspire people to break new ground through collaborations fueled by effective relationships, entrepreneurial spirit, and shared discoveries. We will spark new ways to imagine, think, behave, and work together, putting Guelph on the map for community-driven social change. So that is the mission statement. And thank you so much to Michelle Bowman for popping that in the chat for us. All right. We've been talking about the farmers market and 10C taking over, activating that incredible space that has only been used about once a week for a very long time. I was really lucky and got to attend an event that was held there recently. And I was super impressed by all of the changes, the upgrades, the renovations that are going on. And I'm really excited to see where that's going to take us. One of the things that I am wondering about, there's a bit of a parking issue when it comes to accessibility. Is there anything that 10C as the CDA holder can do to advocate to the city to help with that in some way, shape, or form?
I think that would relate to where accessibility, where more accessible parking at the market could go. Obviously, on a Saturday, the spot is used for accessibility, so then it bumps the spot further down and or in front of the market on Gordon. And then probably the main answer for that is the parkade is the closest accessible spot. So if there was community feedback about where better accessible parking could be, yes, Tennessee could advocate for that. But right now we've been working with the city to find the closest accessible spots that seem to be in their domain.
Okay, that's great. It's nice to know that there is some awareness of the fact that that is a bit of an issue. And just with the renovations, I'm guessing that the aisles are going to be a little bit bigger.
How we've managed the aisles were back in the pre-times, in the pre-COVID times, there used to be double tables across. So the aisles were very narrow. And now we've got this center aisle of booths that back onto each other that does create a bit more of a width in the market, which then creates a bit more of an open flow. And we're 100% committed to maintaining that.
That is awesome, because I know I was down there for a Christmas market one Wednesday many, many moons ago, and it was really tight. So it's nice to know that it's going to have a little bit more space as everything's going through. We do have a question here in the restaurant from Diane, and then I'm going to ask Tanya for a couple of questions from the chat. Diane.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to talk about the market, a place that I love. I represent the Farmers Market executives as well as Friends of the Farmers Market. And we were very interested when you were here last time, what was the benefit of the city downloading or however they got transferred the market and then you taking it on? It looked like a $50,000 benefit to the city, but nobody articulated that. And so since then, there are a number of concerns. The executive of the farmers no longer exists. And that was the conversation that might be your resource group. That might be the people who really know that. So I want to say that both of you haven't been good management. The city hasn't been good management, neither have you been. And so how do you examine that and how do you comment on that? I don't think if we're criticizing you that you're a good purveyor of being the mediator. So what we're looking for and what I've been tasked to get is the contract between the City of Guelph and you. We would like to receive that so that we can review it, so that we can also, it's for the benefit of everybody, because we want to see where a number of things, particularly, the city hasn't been forthcoming with it. I'd have to get a freedom of information. But because these parts are so critical, farmers come from out of the city. I am their man on the ground, as well as I've seen a number of things. So we'd like you to respond to give that to us.
Okay, so we're going to give Julia a chance to respond, and then I'm going to go to Councillor Phil Alt for a perspective from the city.
Thanks, Diane, for the question. So when we first took over, Phil, I've got this for a little bit. Yeah. When we first began looking at taking on the market, we looked at the bylaws, and the bylaws were very, very, very old, from the 80s and or earlier. And there was in the bylaws an executive noted of the farmer's market. So we went then to the actual practices in place. And there was an executive of the farmer's market in years prior. When we took it on, there was no executive. There were no farmer's market vendors who were willing to sit on the executive. So Diane, I do not believe that you are representing the market vendors. And if you were, you could have come to any of the in-person convenings that we held with the market vendors. The structure with the city is in a community benefit agreement that basically establishes a 6-year lease where 10C manages the market. Our main obligation to the city is to offer an excellent Saturday market, and that was our contracted obligation. The benefit to the city is that there's a potential for more activation to happen at the community level, and Tenancy as a not-for-profit organization can bring in other funding and other resources to support how the market can offer, which we have done. We've brought in over $1 million of external funding to support the capital upgrades right now, and that has helped us to really bring new resources to the actual market. As far as the market leader connections, Tensi does that through the staff that manage the market, as well as Katie, myself, who are called Tensi's executive, host a twice a year all members meeting where members can come. They can air any of their concerns. They can talk about things that interest them in us working with them together on. And as far as the structure of what the agreement between the city and 10C offered a $500,000 operating fund, and this was aired at the council meetings that invited this, with $150,000 in the first year, because we're still in COVID, there was not as revenue from the market. $100,000 the next year, $50,000 for a 3-year, and then in 2027, which is Wells 200th, and there will be other activities happening at the market then, $100,000 for that last year. All of that funding was much less funding than it actually cost the city to run the market through its staffing. So we're working with the city in something that we hope is a mutually long-term beneficial, and are in daily contact with members. And I do know that you have messaged us. We've asked for meetings, and if you're willing and wish to have a meeting with the market vendors, and you can let us know that you're their representative, that would be wonderful.
Okay, and now over to Phil.
Thanks very much, Morgan, and thanks, Julia and Diane. I'm just going to comment on freedom of information and contracts. There's a reason for freedom of information, and it's a privacy reason. And I want to be really clear on this. I'm a person that believes in open government, but freedom of information exists because there might be things that must be excluded. That includes individuals' names, addresses, phone numbers, even if it's just that simple. It's not that we're trying to hide the details of a contract. That's accessible to you, as is your right, but still We must go through freedom of information because there might be issues associated with the essentially the privacy of an individual that needs to be ensured. So in some senses, I'm apologizing for freedom of information, but recognizing that there's a very delicate balance between freedom and privacy that needs to be maintained.
Thank you very much for addressing the freedom of information and how it works to protect people. Alrighty, Tanya, I would like to go to you. I know you've been collecting some questions from the chat. I'm going to hand the mic over to Julia so she can respond as you ask.
Hi, Tanya.
Hey, hi, Julia. So the first question, the first two are quick and easy, I guess. What is the status of the Acker's sign now, and why was the Acker's renovation zany?
Why was the Acker's renovation zany? Oh my gosh. It was zany because the project was so hard. Like the building had no hot water, it had no servicing. It needed so much work. Like it was an ever unfolding saga of what was next. And so it was I love that project, and it was not for the faint of heart. So zany was that there were just so many facets. So the question on the sign is a lovely one. Thanks. And there's been, the sign is in storage. It's at a sign shop. We've had them basically we're at the beginning. We needed to take it down to do the renovations, and it wasn't structurally it's not structurally sound to like just put it back up. So we had in storage. There still is a dream and vision of putting it back up, and then that needs a ton of work. The sign basically needs to be essentially rebuilt, a little bit similar to what they did with the Albion sign way back, where it was essentially like a historical replica of the sign. And there's a budget on that of like $25,000 to $40,000, including engineering and design, and working to look at what's possible within the city's signage bylaw, because it would be outside of the standard for current signage. I would love nothing more than to put that sign up on the building, but 10C itself doesn't have that kind of available money. But we're going to hold that as a future dream for the next few years. And if there is more community engagement in bringing the sign back, we've got a beautiful design that has kind of actors. And we think we'd there'd be like a 10C kind of logo that sits on it. And it will be, it could be a beautiful, cool thing. But again, it does need a ton of work. What's next time?
Yes. Okay. So one question from the chat. Based on lessons learned from 42C and its revitalization, how can the community get behind the goals for the market and activating it throughout the week?
Yeah, I think the number one thing right now would be attend our 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday market. It's a beautiful, we have, it's anchored by a couple CSAs. And we're hoping in the winter months, as people are, and CSAs are community supported agriculture. So community members essentially prepay farmers to give them a known customer base so they can proceed on their hard work of creating food for us. So we're hoping to have in the winter months a bit of a CSA orientation so more people can connect out to CSAs. And then right now we have 2 to 3 different CSA offerings. So that brings a base of people that come and pick up their weekly food. And then we also have The Seed, who is working on looking at how their box pickups can happen at the market. And a number of vendors who have shown exemplary commitment to helping us with the chicken and egg of market vendors versus customers. And the pacing and balance that you need to get those. So more customers, just popping in, even if you want to pop in and say hi to some of the vendors or learn about the CSAs coming on the 4 to 7 Thursday in October would be amazing. And then Thursdays in December is the gift and wider market. So coming to those is the very first point. the other points about activating are we've recently hosted a series of events. There was Art Not Shame did the beautiful, it was so beautiful, like such a great community convening to launch the mural that's at the, we'll call it the north end of the market. We hosted a green party event. There's a book, Vocamus Book Bash upcoming, and a number of other community events. So think of the market as a community event space, and how if you're looking to do something larger or something even smaller in any of the ends, there's ways to do that. And you can connect with the 10C team through info@10carbon.ca to learn more about that. And then if people have like event ideas for larger scale events, and how we can anchor some very cool festivals in the market, reach out to us, because we're happy to apply to things jointly and or look at how that very cool location, beautiful facility can help with the things you're planning.
Thank you so much. And we do have a question here from the floor.
Yeah, hi. I've been in Guelph now for almost 10 years, and this is the first time I've found out about 10C when I got invited to this breakfast. So is that on me, or is there more you can do to communicate and promote yourselves?
Good question.
I've been downtown so much in the almost 10 years that I've lived here in Guelph that 10C has just always been something that's been in my mind. So it's great to know that this is your first time hearing about it. And it's great to know that you're getting some incredible information. Julia, I'm going to pass this back to you so you can sort of address that a bit.
Yeah, thanks. A, nice to meet you. And B, for sure, everyone, we can always do a better job of promoting ourselves. 10C doesn't spend a lot of actual money on promotion. So then the promotion comes through doing events and talks like this, anything on social media. We do a ton of different social media connecting, and have no money for print advertising. We do a little bit more for the farmers market as far as like going into magazines like Took and any other free publications. But mostly connecting is our way of, a lot of it is sometimes like word of mouth and networks through our members and people dropping in to connect with us. But 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, are our main drop-in hours.
Yeah, so anybody that wants to just stop in and check out what's happening in the library, especially, there's usually art there. And I know that there are some great organizations, maybe find out what some of them are and take some time to learn about them as well. I do just want to make mention of one thing, that when we do have guests, we are an open discussion forum, and any expression of words are solely those of the individual speaking them and do not necessarily represent anything that Breezy Breakfast as an organization is stating. Now we have a question from Juanita.
Hi there. I have a question. One of the things I think is lacking, not just in Guelph, but all over the place, is free community space to hold events that, you know, maybe it's not an organization yet, or maybe it's just such a small organization, they don't have funds. Is there a place at 10C for events that don't have to actually pay for this space? And how do you work with that?
Yeah, that is something that I think every city needs more of, in very inexpensive or free community space.
Thanks, Juanita. Great question. We have 10C, kind of the how it works is 10C needs to earn revenue to exist, right? So we have a stack of discounts that we can put on. So there's something called the boost rate, which Tennessee's rates are 50%, like members receive 50% discount, and then Boost adds another 30% discount on top of that. And then there's other discounts if you're convening with youth or like food. There's a set of different discounts. So groups that come in who have no budget, they really just work with Nathan and Heather to ask what are all the discounts that are available. Sometimes we can support by looking at project funding that we can work on together, and or encourage people to, if there's an event that you have like a nominal fee that you're, that people coming are able to pay, that can be one way that you can kind of make the space work for you. So really it's like stacking up a series of discounts to get the best community rate possible.
That's great to know that there is a mechanism that does allow individuals that may not necessarily have the wherewithal to pay full price to bring things into a more manageable space. And that actually helps me a lot as well, because it lets me know for some of the other volunteer organizations that I work with that there is a way that we might be able to use 10C because it is so incredibly beautiful. All right. I believe we have a question or two from Counselor Erin Caton online. Erin.
So I wanted to talk about accessibility, and I wanted to say how much, first of all, I appreciate your venue, because the first thing that I noticed when I went there was all of the scent-free signs. And as a person who has chemical sensitivities, that really meant a lot to me. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your other accessibility features and the efforts that you've put together to help your air quality.
Yeah, perfect. So I'd say, excuse me, at 10C, obviously physical accessibility is one of the pieces. So there is an elevator. There's barrier-free access into all the washrooms and those things. And then as far as air quality, we have a monitoring system that basically works with, through RWDI, that works with public health data and whatnot. And the, what are they called? The blue air, my brain is going to blank on the things, but we have the air filtration devices in different zones. So those are always like on. And if people want to move some of those from different rooms when they're having an event, we have those like accessible. We haven't incorporated any of those elements at the market yet, because we're still working to kind of get through the renovation. So the air systems at 10C are also, each floor has its own system. So it it gives us, there's a way in terms of, it has new HVAC. So each floor is separately zoned, and the air is like exchanged all the time.
And I was also wondering about the washrooms. Do you have gender neutral washroom options?
Yeah, 10C from the very, very, very beginning was gender neutral. And that was one of my passions on the washrooms. That was one of my passions in the project. And I remember when we were working with contractors and engineers, they're like, where are the boys going to pee? And the question was, well, they're going to use the same facilities that we all use. So our signage is also on the accessible bathrooms, the barrier-free bathrooms that have the buttons and access from different, obviously bathrooms are sized differently for accessibility. So the signage on those basically says this washroom is for everyone, and it literally is for everyone. And then our single stall non-barrier-free bathrooms are gender neutrally signed around just, this is a bathroom and you can use it. So that was one of the mandates from 10C from 0001. And then we also brought that into the farmer's market. So there will be opening soon, once we close off the permits on the bathrooms, a universal accessible bathroom that is gender neutral, and then a barrier-free, slightly smaller bathroom that is gender neutral. And we have plans to convert the existing two gender bathrooms to gender neutral with closed stalls in the next phase of renovation. So it was functionally hard for us to operate 10C with its gender transparency, and then walk into the market, which was still gendered, and we're working to change that almost immediately.
Thank you. I really appreciate all of the effort that you've made to make the place equitable for everybody.
Thank you so very much for asking those questions, Erin. I do love the fact that you don't have to go searching for a gendered bathroom. You can just find a bathroom. It's so much easier. Tanya.
Yes, we have one more question. Has inflation affected what 10C has to offer to incentivize investment?
Tanya, ask that question again. How has inflation affected what 10C offers?
Yes.
In regards to investment?
How has it affected, the community bonds or investment? Yes.
I'm going to say that inflation has made everything harder for everyone, and getting inflation in control is like, we just can't wait. I think we, as Canadians, got used to a fairly normal rate of inflation we could predict. And obviously, the pandemic and everything has thrown that out. So inflation has made things harder for 10C, absolutely, because our costs are higher, but we don't necessarily have new methods to increase. I'd say that 10C, our member rates are still the same. Our co-working rates are still the same. We still apply the same levels of discount. So we're trying not to put a lot of extra costs on community. And that makes Tensi need to search for new revenue sources and search for ways to still maintain a great organization. So I'd say that we're trying to manage the current times we're in as best as we can. And on the community bond front, our bond rates, if you're searching for lucrative GIC investments, our bond, they are not that. Right now, our bond rates are 2.75 to 4.25. And that is, as we know, below the Bank of Canada current rate. At the same time, we still have investors stepping into that with us because during the COVID years, our bonds were actually earning more financial returns when rates were zero, and we were still consistently paying our investors the 2.5% to 5% on their bonds. So I'd say that on the investor side, we have asked people to kind of weather the interest climate with us, and we're hopeful that in the next, 5-year term, we get to a bit more of a normal stasis in both inflation and I'd say in interest rates, because general affordability of everything is a epic challenge that we need to resolve as a society, and Tennessee only plays a small role in that.
Well, thank you, Julia, for answering that question. It's a tough one.
Thank you so much for that question, Tanya. And if there are no more questions in the restaurant and no more questions in the chat, then we are going to ask Tanya to get her announcements ready. And I'm just going to give Julia a moment to wrap up and let us know anything special that she might have thought of that she hasn't mentioned yet.
I just want to note out to Paul online, I'd be happy to follow up with you around the accessible parking. And if there are better ways that 10C can be managing that, we're totally open to what those might be. And so Erin had commented as well. So I would love for a separate conversation around that. And then really just for everyone, come to the party. It'll be fun. It'll be a good way to connect with people. And if there are ways to connect with 10C, drop in or send us an email at info@tenkern.ca.
Well, thank you so much, Julia, for informing us about everything 10C and how 10C is so wonderfully taken over activating our beautiful farmers market. Thank you to Joy, who was with us online and had to leave a little bit earlier. And thank you to Jess from 10C for being here to just make sure that everything was going along well. It's always great to have an additional person with you. As we are going to announcements, we do just want to remind everyone that updated vaccines are now available for COVID and flu, and you are able to book them through public health. Tanya, take it away with announcements for us.
All right. We've got a special council meeting this Tuesday, October the 17th at 1 p.m. And the topic is housing in Guelph. There is a council meeting also on October the 17th. It'll start at 6 p.m. And this is chock full of items. Designation, demolition, 716 Gordon Street, a major report on development charges. And then there are public meetings about two sites, 331 Clare Road, where there is to be an 8 stacked townhouse blocks. There will be about 136 units in there. And on 55 Baker Street, a 15-story mixed-use tower containing 353 residential units, ground floor commercial, underground parking, and a future stacked townhouse block. Have your say. The Emma to Earl Street Bridge, the downtown infrastructural renewal, the Downtown Heritage Conservation District Study. There will be a survey coming soon. Next week on Breezy Breakfast, there will be a federal update with MP Longfield. And the week after that, we're going to hear from Guelph storytellers, Bonnie Dirtnell, Susan Ratcliffe, and the Jaywalker. And I believe that's a wrap. Thank you, everybody, for coming out today, and see you next week.
That's all for today. Music provided by Jules Germ. Post-production by Scotty Hertz. Breezy Breakfast, where the breeze we shoot gives you an appetite for breakfast and community engagement. See you next time.